since I was going to ask Brother Tim if we could sing that song, but he jumped the gun on me, so I guess he was in the same mindset as I was. And praise the Lord. I mean, he's happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Yeah.
It's good to be with you. It's good to be part of an invincible army. Amen?
Yeah.
Be part of an army. You know, an invincible army is not one that they don't, it's not that they don't have battles or they don't have trials. It just means that they keep getting up and fighting again. And so we thank the Lord for his goodness to us. Thank the Lord that he's on his throne and he knows everything. He knows what's going on. He's our hope and stay. And so may the Lord richly bless you. Today we're going to start a marriage enrichment series. So today's part one. We've titled this, What is Marriage? And so we'll read an opening scripture and then I'll let you be seated after we pray. Genesis chapter 2. We'll be reading at verse 18 through 25, I believe it is. I want you to take notice to who it was that said, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. It wasn't Adam that said it. It was God that said it. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, now this is the process the Lord's going to go to do this, right? He's going to make an helpmeet for Adam, right? Now Adam is spirit, going to be formed into flesh. And so now he's going to be brought, he's going to find him to help me. And so God starts out and he says, so out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought it unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called the living creature, that was the name thereof. Now you notice, we finally get to the point where he does bring his wife to him and Adam names her. So the point I want to show you here is that God formed all these creatures out of the dust of the earth, brought them to Adam, and he named them, but not one of them did he name his wife. Right? And Adam gave names to all the cattle, the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Not one of those creatures matched what was in his heart. Okay? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs, one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. So where did God find this wife? Inside Adam.
Right.
Got to remember these things. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let's just pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come today, it is always of the utmost importance when we come here to worship and to open your sacred word. And today, Lord, is especially an important topic that we're beginning. And we're just asking, Lord, that you would just guide us every step of the way, that you would inspire us through your Holy Spirit, through your words, through this wonderful message you've given us. May you inspire us, Lord, to believe your truth and to be able to allow it to have preeminence in our lives, that we would live according to these things that you purposed, that the Lord, we would be living not as it has been permitted all through the years, but from the beginning, to live like it was there at the beginning, what you originally intended. We know, God, that you're the author of life and you're the giver of every good gift. And so we know today as you impart into this service, Lord, you have good things for your people. And we're asking, Lord, that you would just have your way today. Just speak to our hearts now. We ask, God, that you would just be the divine healer in our presence, in our midst. Lord, we just stand with your people and we rebuke the enemy that would try to hinder your people. We are victorious through you. And we just thank you, Lord, for providing these things for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. And we love the Lord. Jacket off because it's a little bit warmer up here. Amen. So first thing I want to do is give a disclaimer. I'll call it this a disclaimer, but I want to say this. The things we're going to cover in this series is for my people, is for the people the Lord has sent me to minister to. And so if people are tuning in from outside and from the internet, listen to it on a website, whatever, if you don't like what you hear, go find you another teacher that has itching ears or whatever. Go somewhere else. You don't have to listen to it. But this is the truth that I believe to be from God's Word that I'm giving to the people that I'm ministering to, that I'm responsible to teach the truth to and share the truth to. And so if you don't like it, you know, you don't have to. I'm not forcing you. But to those who want to hear it, I want to be sure and tell them the truth and share everything that we know that the message is given to us. And that's what I want to do. And so, but I do want to say this. This is a very important topic, and we're doing this for a reason. Not only has it been desired upon by some of the congregation, if not all, but there is a reason for us to do this. And that is because we have a lot of young people among us who are just approaching, and in the next few years, approaching the time of their life where they'll be looking for someone, hoping to find someone to spend their life with. Some of them probably already have that on their minds. Maybe perhaps all of them do. And so this is a very important topic. And years ago we did one in Fort Smith, a marriage enrichment series, and I think all of our young people were way young then, and they probably don't remember much about it. And I certainly would not remember any of the teaching and any of the things from the scriptures that come from it. And there will be a lot of things that we cover that you have heard in sermons from time to time, but this is a time to bring a lot of things together. And we're doing it so that we can provide instructions for our young people. And this is for those of us who've been married for many years. You can always learn something. I'll learn something out of this, no doubt, as we go through this. And so, you know, my wife and I, here coming up in February, we will have been married 35 years. Did I get that right? 35 years. It's a long time. And, you know, she and I, you know, we weren't really serving the Lord so much back when we got married. But over the years, we have realized that the Lord put his hand on our lives. And she and I both realized that we have been blessed to have each other. I've been blessed that God provided her to me, and I trust that she feels blessed that the Lord has provided me to her. What I want to say to you young people and to those of you here that will be listening to this, God has given my wife and I 35 years together for you. Because we can share some things with you. We've been through ups and downs, and we've not always made the right decisions and so forth. But you know, you can have a book knowledge of something, but then you can have wisdom. You can have something that you gain by experience. And it's so utmost important, it's a biblical principle that our young people not forsake the wisdom of the ones who have gone before them. And so today's a great opportunity, and this series will be a great opportunity for you to listen. And what you do with it will be up to you. But I will tell you, the choice of marriage and who you marry and so forth is the second greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. And the reason why we know why we say that, because the greatest thing that God could give you is salvation. The greatest thing God could give a man is salvation. And the next best thing that God could give a man, because God is a giver of every good gift, every good and perfect gift coming down from above, from the Father of lights. So every good gift comes from God. He said, I'm going to give you a serpent when you're looking for a piece of bread, or a stone if you're looking for a piece of bread. He's going to give you good gifts. And so the best thing that God could give a man is a good wife. The flip side to that is if a man gets a wife that's not good, it'll be water in his blood. It'll water down his life. And so, you know, motherhood is the backbone of every nation. And when you break motherhood, you break the entire nation. And that's right. That is the truth. Because she is that important. I'm going to read a quote to you, and then we'll get started on this. And you pull on the word just like you normally would, okay? Otherwise, we're going to be bored. So, life story. Brother Man was telling us, you should go listen to this live story the last time he told it. It was really, really good. So, but now a good woman is a jewel in a man's crown. She should be honored. My wife is lovely. And I've got thousands of Christian sisters who I highly respect. But if they can respect what God made them, a mother and a real queen, that's all right. But one of the best things that God can give a man is a wife. Besides salvation, a wife is the best thing, and if she's a good wife. But if she isn't, Solomon said, a good woman is a jewel in a man's crown, but an honorary one is water in his blood. And that's right. It's the worst thing that can happen. So a good woman, if you've got a good wife, brother, you ought to respect her with the highest. That's right. You should do that. A real woman. And children, if you've got a real mother that stays home and tries to take care of you, keeping your clothes clean, sending you to school, and teaching you about Jesus, you should honor that sweet old mother with all that's in you. You should respect that woman, yes, sir, because she's a real mother. So the best thing you can have. So this is the most important decision of your life. First one, that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then after that is who you're going to spend eternity with, or not eternity, but your life with, which you probably spend eternity with them too if they're a believer. And so you want to make sure that you take this whole topic very seriously. So who you marry, how you approach marriage, how you come into it, even the ceremony that you have and how you live throughout your life is the most important. That whole thing is the most important thing. And there's a reason why God wants it the way he wants it, the way he gives it to us out of his word. The world has hijacked marriage. Now you hear me talk about when the story I give you about the kid having his little clubhouse. He makes a clubhouse, and he wants to have a clubhouse, and he says to all his neighbors, come in, you can be part of my clubhouse. And this is called Christianity, and when you come in here, you have to abide by these rules that define what we are in this clubhouse called Christianity. And so different ones come in, and then all of a sudden one day some guy comes in, and he wants to join and be part of it, and once he joins, he decides, I don't like these rules. And he starts trying to get everybody to live differently than the rules. And you're like, wait. No, you can't do that. If you're going to change the rules, you can't be part of this. You can't be a Christian if you don't live by the rules. But what God gave, right? You can't do it. Right. And so this guy gets mad. He goes down the street and he opens up his own clubhouse, comes up with his own hybrid rules, and has the audacity to call that Christianity. No, it's not. You've hijacked it. Right. Because there's real Christianity that God established, and I don't care what they say, if they've deviated from what his program is, they've hijacked it. Well, it's the same thing about marriage.
Right.
Marriage has been hijacked by the world because they're not doing it the way God laid it out in the first place. So they've hijacked it. And you get all kinds of results from one end of the spectrum to the other when you do that. And so the world is hijacked. It, you know, it just depends on which source you go to and what you look at and how you're looking at it. There's 50%. They say 50% of marriages in America right now end up in divorce. It used to be higher than that. And I thought, yeah, well, there's not. It's good because it's all went down. No, it's not, because they're living together. They're not getting married. They live in common law. See what I'm saying? But then when people get divorced and they turn around and remarry, they're more apt to get divorced again. Why? Because, well, they already went through it once and they've been desensitized to the way it should be. And they thought, well, I made it through that. I'll make it through it again. And so the percentages go up higher. And then when you get to somebody that's been married a third time, it's in the 70-some-odd% that they're going to get divorced.
Right.
Something's wrong somewhere. Because that's not what you see as a biblical pattern. And that's not what is recorded in God's word. So there is an issue there. There's a problem. But they're not doing it God's way. the world will tell us, times have changed, okay? The world says times have changed, and the Bible is no longer a book that is valid. It's just, you know, it needs to be updated. How many has heard something like that? Right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's true. If man had been the one to write the Bible, if it was a book or a system that man had written, because man isn't perfect, sure, he could have wrote a book that maybe a year ago is no longer valid now. I'll tell you what they were telling us back in February and March about COVID is not valid now.
Right.
See what I'm saying? But this Bible was, even though it was penned by man, it was men, it was moved by the Holy Ghost, this is the Word of God, and God is infinite. God doesn't learn. He doesn't forget. He knew exactly how to write it in this Word so that even all the way down here in what's fixing to be 2021, this Word is just as correct and accurate to be lived by and will get the same results today as it always would, because God is infinite and He knew exactly what He needed to put in here. Who are we to come along and say it needs to be changed? That's a mind that's already went into something else to be able to even consider that. Who would somebody come along and come into your house and tell you, you can't live the way you want to live in your house? It's your house. This is God's world. These bodies we live in is what He gave us. And we're in His universe. And we answer to Him. And so people don't want to recognize that God exists, because once you say, okay, there's a God, now you got to answer the fact that you're going to have to answer to Him. And you have a moral issue on your hands of how you live. So the best thing to do, so you don't have to, you know, you just make God out to be that He doesn't exist or something like that. Change His word so it makes it where you can live whatever you want. So since God wrote the Bible, it's still valid. The Scripture tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration, and it is good for doctrine and reproof and correction. All Scripture is. And so you may think that you don't need God in your life. You may think you don't need, maybe you think, well, I want God in my life, but I don't really want His regulations or His way of doing things. I don't want that to be affecting me on how I go find a wife or find a mate for life. You may think that, but I will tell you that your feelings and your emotions and your heart can and does lie to you. And if you're relying just strictly on your heart, on your emotions, on what you feel, what makes you feel good,
right,
you're going to make a mistake.
Yeah.
You've got to dig down to something deeper than that. Because listen, sugar is nice to eat. It's sweet. We love it. But if that's all, if you're going to go with that appetite, you're going to be very sickly real quick.
Yeah.
See, you can't go by the things that feel good. You've got to go by the things that work, the thing that brings health and life into your life and into your experiences. You have to go with those things, and you have to be able to identify those things. We all like things that feel good. But I'll tell you, as I mentioned a while ago, about how many marriages wind up in divorce. Every one of those people, and I'll say it this way, there might be some rare case where it wasn't this way, we'll say almost all cases, when that man and that woman got married together, they thought, this is the one, I love them, I'm going to be with them the rest of my life. And in a short while, or maybe a few years later, they can't stand them. What's wrong? Something happened. Because if they would have found the one God had for them, it'd still be together. See, because there is a concept here that what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And I'll say it this way, not to change it, but to try and emphasize what I know the revelation is that what God hath joined together, man can't. Man cannot separate it,
right,
if it's joined by God. And we have to make sure that in our belief and what we live and what we teach, that we understand that God is God, and we're not going to water Him down and make Him out to be weak and not able to perform His word in our lives. He's able. So don't water it down. So what God joins together is going to be for life. But the problem is, instead of letting God do the joining together, they let their emotions and their hormones And the pretty eyes and the strong muscles, they let that be the thing that leads them. And the thing that makes them feel good, that's what they go after. And it blows up. And even if you can spend many, many years, those muscles go away, and the beauty goes away, and then what do you have?
Right.
And so, this is a concept we've got to hold on to, is that what God has joined together, man's let no man put asunder.
Amen.
And we can even look at it from that standpoint. Don't let man come along and give you a bill of divorcement for something that God has put together. He wouldn't be anyway. So your feelings and emotions in your heart can latch on you, and you can easily be blinded by emotions and by hormones when those things get involved. You can easily get yourself into a situation, go into an environment or a mode that you know you shouldn't be in, and because you have trampled over what you know to be right, when you step over on it, it gives Satan the right to go ahead and anoint you to do something even further. That's why it's important that we listen to instruction of God's word and not commit ourselves into a situation or environment that we're out of control. Because once you're out of control, you're out of control. And Satan's the one that's going to write what's on the next page of your life. Because you are out of control. That's why we've got to stay back and stay with the wisdom and the things that God has given us on these matters, on all matters. And so you can easily be blinded by your emotions and things. And you may think that it don't matter, but it will. It does matter, and it will matter when you start having children. And you and your wife disagree with each other. It's going to matter then. Amen. And it's best, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You know what I'm saying? We've heard that phrase. It's best to get this right up front before you pull the trigger on something that you can't reverse. Because when them children, I keep saying this, you know, about spirits and things like that. When someone's birthed into the world, you can't get rid of it. And when a man and woman come together and they have children, you cannot get rid of that. You can't. And guess what? You can decide you don't want to be with your mate anymore. You can say, I can't stand this person. We're going to get divorced. And you've got children together. You can't change the genetic ties that's in that child. You cannot erase that. That child forever belongs to mommy and daddy who now have decided they don't want to be together. And that child's life is dragged through all kinds of chaos because of it. It's best to deal with these things up front. Now, I know there's going to be people probably listening to this on the web, and I know there's probably some here. You know, none of us probably did everything right. And some of us maybe did things, you know, that cost us more or whatever. It's not about, you know, but there's grace of God to fix things and to move forward in that which is right. No matter what we've done in the past, God is all about fixing and making things work out.
Right.
He can't erase some of the stuff that we do. He can't just, you know, I mean, you're going to have to deal with the consequences, but he can sure forgive you, and he can sure help you. And help you get straight on things. And so trials, when they come and those children come along, you'll be glad that you listen to wisdom on things pertaining to this. So in Genesis, we saw there as we read this, and I wanted to point out in that Genesis scripture there that we read, that God is the author of this. The local judge isn't. Your preacher isn't even. The magistrate down here, whatever, justice of peace, he's not. God is the author. He's the creator, the designer, the instigator of marriage. He knows what it's all about. He knows what he intended for it to be. Right? And remember, he's the giver of every good gift. He's not going to give you something bad. The best thing he'll give you is a good mate, a good wife, or a man. So, he knows what he's doing, and he's the author of it, and he knows how to fix it. Brother Bannon tells about the guy who has a car, and he can't fix it, and he's trying, and he can't fix it. And this guy walks up and says, well, have you tried such and such? No, he said, well, let's try that, and he fired right up. And the guy that walked up was an engineer that designed the thing. Because he knows how it's supposed to work. And see, that's what we got to get. We got to quit taking our cues from the world about life, and we've got to start going to God, because He's the designer of life. He's the author of life, and He's the author of marriage and relationships. And we've got to go to Him to get our understanding and our cues and our teaching and guidance on life, and especially on marriage. And so He is the author of that. He's the one that said it's not a good thing that a man be alone. He's the one that says a man needs to have a helpmate.
Right.
And when He picked out a helpmate for the man, it wasn't another man.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Don't hijack marriage. Don't make it out to be something. If you want to have some alternate lifestyle, call it something else, but it isn't marriage.
Right.
Because God is the author of this. He's the one that made it. And He's the one that knows what He was trying to accomplish, which He did accomplish. And that was, is that it was not good for man to be alone. And man needs to have a wife. The male needs to have a female. And she needs to come from within him. Now that may sound strange. You say, well, my wife didn't come from within me. But we're talking about in the terminologies of God. That in me is a certain need. And when God created that woman, she was that need to be met.
Right.
So there's, you understand. And that's a type of Jesus Christ, that on Calvary, the bride of Christ was birthed from His side there, because you see that there, that the bride of Christ comes from Christ.
Right.
And so even though my wife has a different parents than I had, and so forth, and she didn't literally come out of me physically like that, but you have to realize that if God has provided her for me, the way back in eternity somewhere, God brought her from the same source from me, because she's going to be my wife, and she's going to meet the needs that I have. So she started in the mind of God right in me, and so it's kind of funny. She was born 4 days after me, and we joke about it and say, God, well, you know, made me, and He's like, okay, I gotta make a wife for him too. And so, on the fifth, she was born. But you understand the concept. We don't want to just find somebody that makes us feel good. We want the will of God in our life, so that what He provides for us, we know there will not be a separation, because she comes from the man to begin with. You know, the scriptures tell us, and we'll talk about this here in a minute, but the woman is the man's body. Christ is head of the church, His wife, the church, and she is His body. And the scriptures, we'll read in just a moment, the man also, the wife, that if a man loves his body, he's going to treat his wife right. If he hates his body, he's going to treat his wife wrong. You understand? Because she's his body. And so you realize that, you know, I think we've mentioned this before, that in the medical realm, when you take and put somebody's got to have a kidney transplant. They take the kidney out that's bad, they put another kidney in there. That body knows that's a foreign member of the body. So it rejects it. So then people have to take anti-rejection drugs. Now, what's that saying? If you take somebody that doesn't belong in Christ and try to put them in Christianity, it's rejected because they don't belong there, because it's not part of that body.
Right.
So when you try to marry someone who didn't come from the mind of God, ordained to be your wife, and you try to marry that and take them and that become your body, there's a rejection that's going to happen there, because it didn't come from God. It didn't come from that predestinated position. So there is a predestinated will of God as to who your spouse will be. And it is your job as a believer to look to God to find that one. So we'll go to Ephesians chapter 5, start reading in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own, not somebody else's husband. Every time in the scripture where that's in there, it says it that way. Because God knows how Satan is come around and say, wives, you submit yourself to husbands. Then he'd say, you got to submit to this husband, you got to submit to that husband, you got to submit. No, you submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord. I want to ask you a question. Should the church obey Christ, their husband? Then so the wife should obey her husband, says Scriptures. As unto the Lord. Just like you would obey the Lord as a church member, as his member of his body, then the wife should obey her husband. But I'll say this, the husband really needs to be like Christ. Okay? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Your husband, in God's economy, is your Savior. Amen. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in some things or everything. I want to tell you something. Like I said, I did this in Fort Smith several years ago. And every time I go to Mexico to hold meetings, they want me to do a marriage enrichment. And I share with them the same thing I'm sharing with you, except today there's more things the Lord give you today. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. But now listen, husbands, right? Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What did Christ do? He absolutely gave himself for the church that he might save her, fix her mess ups. And he didn't hold back. He went all the way until he got the job done. That's how much he loved her. And we're being told by Scriptures that the man is to love his wife the same way. To give, if you have to physically give your life for her, die for her, you do it. But you give yourself to her, for her every day to provide for her, to give her the things that she needs. You see what I'm saying? This is the biblical arrangement. The world took away from that a long time ago. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You know, the scripture said, and they two shall be one. One flesh. He didn't say, as one, they two shall be one. Because when you're joined in marriage to that one, you're one with him. And God expects you to treat it that way. And so if you're one with your wife, you can't go around beating up on her and abusing her verbally and physically and everything else and treating her like she's a floor mat. Because you're doing it to your own body when you do that. You got to understand these things. Because this is what's happening to people when they're abusive to their spouse. They're abusing themselves when they do that. And you got to understand that we are creatures of God. He made us, and this stuff applies regardless of what they believe. When you're joined to someone, you're one. The scripture said, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. We're talking about a spiritual birth, a spiritual union with Christ. You become one with the Holy Spirit. You become one spirit, right? In union. Husband becomes one with his wife one with her husband. And so men ought to love his wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. Now think about that. He said it right there. Your wife is your own flesh. And a man that's got right mind and right thinking is not going to be doing something to harm his own flesh. He's going to do something to cherish it and to take care of it. And that includes her. Because she is your body. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one, not as one, they two shall be one flesh. We're going to look at this through God's eyes, not through man's eyes. And you might say, well, Brother Tony, your flesh is up here on the platform and your wife's flesh is sitting back there listening. Y'all ain't the same flesh, but in God's economy, we're the same. And should we treat one another accordingly, according to the word. If we deviate from that, then you can have whatever results the world wants to give you, because that's what you'll have. But if we want it to be the way the original designer of marriage is, if we want to fall into that and be the way he wants it done, we've got to recognize these issues that he has presented to us and pull the reins in and say, I'm going to live and look at it this way, and I'm going to express myself to my mate and look at marriage in my home and everything like that. They two shall be one flesh. And Paul admits, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in so particular, love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know, that sounds terrible. We say, you've got to reverence your husband, but we're telling you, husbands, you better live like Christ. You better be everything that he is to the church for her. And if you'll do that, then you have right to say, okay, she needs to honor me, you know, and you wouldn't. I don't think a man needs to have to demand anything. As I always say, I tell young people and people getting a job and stuff, they're like, I want a raise. I'm like, you make sure you're valuable to them and they'll get you the raise. And you make sure that you're the husband you're supposed to be, and your wife will honor you. Unless she reprobates, she'll honor you. The man who lives according to the word of God, he'll soften her heart if she's not. You know, the scripture says that an unbelieving wife is sanctified by a believing man, or an unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife. You may say, well, I've got a spouse that doesn't serve the Lord. Okay. You be what you're supposed to be, and that life will be sanctified, and God will fix some things. You see what I'm saying? We've got to go with the things that God tells us and believe those things. And so what I want to show you there, that right there, was that there's a parallel between Christ and the church and the husband and the wife, and they're the same. They're the same parallel. What Christ is to the church, the man must be to the wife. And what the wife, how she treats Christ, her husband, the church, the wife should treat the man, says the Bible. I stand here and speak these things to you, not in my authority, but in the authority of the word we just read from the author of life. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. So remember, the first thing is that God is the one that makes the established marriage. And we see that marriage has a parallel to Christ in the church. And now I want to show you this. So giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, talking about Jesus, right? His blood. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Who's the image of the invisible God? The expressed image of the invisible God, the scripture says, Jesus Christ. Okay? For by him, by Jesus Christ, now he's the word, right? He's the word that was made flesh, and all things created by him and for him, as we'll read here. So by him, the word, all things were created, things that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, for his purpose, what he wants. Why? Because he's the creator. He's the one that has all these, that authored all these things. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head to the body. So here we are again. He's the head to the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, he's the head to the body, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And so I want to read that right there to show you that this whole entire arrangement This whole entire arrangement between marriage was formed, created by Him and for Him. He wants it to declare something that He desired. He wants it to be done a certain way, so it declares what He has. He had something in mind that marriage was going to accomplish, and that's what we want to stay with Him. And so, there's a reason for these things. So I want you to always remember that. God is the one that formed marriage. There's a parallel between Christ and His church and the husband and wife, and this whole thing is for God's purpose. Amen. So we find out God had a need. And we know what that was, that He had a desire to have a family. And you say, well, where does it say that? Well, you can tell that He did because that's what He did. He set forth to have a family. His own actions show us that He was going to have sons and daughters. And so, obviously, He had a desire. He wanted sons and daughters. He wanted to have a family. And so He set forth to have it. And He knew that they would be lost, so He knew that they would need a Savior. Amen? Am I still right so far?
Amen.
They would need a Savior. And so, He created Himself to be the Savior. He created for Himself a body to come down in to be a Savior, to be the head to the church, to be the Savior of the wife, to be husband to the wife. This is what God did. So the entire plan of redemption from start to finish is all about God finding a mate, and through that mate multiplying Himself, right? And coming and having a family. And so we know that's the truth. That's true.
Right.
He had a need, and so that was to have a family. And so He chose how He's going to have that family. God could have just said, well, I'll just we'll be walking along and they'll just pop up out of nowhere like popcorn. There's a son of God. There's a daughter of God. There's a son of God. There's a daughter of God. But He didn't choose it that way. He chose to say, it's all in Me, and I'm going to have a family, and they're going to come forth a certain way, and I'm going to create the way they come forth. He's going to do that. See? And so He did. He created that, and so you find out that He began to come forth, and the whole way that He came forth was that He would be the husband to those to the wife. He would be the Savior to the body. We just read it. He'd be the Savior to the church. He would be the healer. He would be the one who would fix the things we did wrong.
Right.
And He would be the head. Because He's the wisdom of it, the fountain of all these things. It all comes in our very existence because He had grace enough to give us life and fix our problems. And He did that through becoming the husband, through creating Himself, through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ being the atonement of all ages, that He could save those who were lost, and that was His children and in His mind. Alright? And so that's what He did. And so then we find out, when you read scriptures, when Moses was going to make the tabernacle in the wilderness, Moses was told, Moses, when you make this tabernacle in the wilderness, you make sure you make this exactly the way you saw it in heaven. I mean, knows that scripture. Exactly. Make it just like that pattern was that you've seen there. And I said that to tell you that what takes place in heaven is mimicked on earth. And so when God had needs and God said, I'm going to bring forth my family, and I'm going to do it through this creating these aspects of a husband and a wife and a male and a female, and through that male and female coming together, I'm going to produce life, and my whole family is going to come through a cycle like that. And that's the way it was in the spirit realm, and then fell down, and God said, okay, now I'm going to do on earth what that is. It'll be a perfect image on earth what that is. And so now on earth, we're going to bring forth life, and it's going to be through male and female, husband and wife, male and female, not male and male or female and female, but male and female. That's the way we're going to do this. So I'm going to ask you a question. What species on this earth can produce without male and female mechanics or whatever. Anybody have one? Plants? Fish? Birds? It takes male and female. And when those male and female come together, that coming together in unity produces something that's mimicking on earth what God is in heaven as the great creator, that he can just bring forth by his spoken word a whole family through this relationship of husband and wife, spiritually speaking, his word into the womb of her heart. Now here on earth you got men and woman, and they come together in unity, and now they can create in their union. But take away the union. If the male and female don't come together, there's no life. That's why these alternate lifestyles are out, because there's no life there. There might be pleasures of sin, but there's no life there, because it takes male and it takes female to get life. Because the male and female coming together in unity is mimicking on earth what God is in heaven. And so it has to be that way. Anything different than that is of the devil. So it has to come that way. Male and female coming together. And so no male can procreate by himself. No female can. It takes the two. And so God has reserved this earthly manifestation of his creative ability to produce. He has brought that down, and he has committed to male and female the ability to express on earth this creative ability to multiply. We're going to procreate but the way it works is it has to take male and female to come together. And when they come together, you see a supernaturalness. If anybody's ever been in a hospital room, watch a baby be born, it's like you get in tunnel vision. It's like you're off in another dimension. It's a miracle. The way this works, that man and wife can come together, and next thing you know, you got a family. And so what I'm trying to get at is that this union, this thing of male and female coming together, it's for the purpose of expressing something great about God's character and who he is. And he's committed that to men. He's also committed it to all species, because all males and females in any species, it takes both, and they multiply. They get more and more and more. Right? But I ask you, which one of those species out there is made in the image of God? Only man. Man is the only one. The deer's not. The rose bush isn't. No other species is made to be in the image of God. Though all of those males and females can come together, and there's an aspect of creative power in that they come together through unity and can have offspring, but none of them are in the image of God. Only man is. And so the same gift that we have of coming together as husband and wife in unity, and that magic power of creation there for us to produce offspring, we have that same gift as the rest of the world does, but we're the ones that are in the image of God. And this is why it's different for man than it is for animals. Right. The buck deer can have a doe in the morning to fertilize her, and he can find another doe that afternoon, and it's okay in the eyes of God, because he doesn't have a soul, and he's not in the image of God, and he's not supposed to be walking around out here expressing the character and nature of God. Man is.
Right.
So that's why the animals do the way they do, but we're not animals. We're animals in flesh, but because we have a soul, and because God has said, you are in my image. You are to be here on earth, God on earth. You are to have this ability. This gets into serpent seed. But in the original, the way it was to be, you're not going to be like these animals out here that come together physically. It is by spoken word, male spoken word in the womb of female to produce offspring. But the fall in the garden brought us to doing things like the animals do. You follow me? Now, I got permission from Brother Daniel to get into the touchy subjects, because our young people are old enough to know, and they need to hear. You follow me?
Yeah.
They need to hear. They need to understand. In God's economy, the production of God's children was to be by spoken word. And even here on earth, Adam and Eve in the image of God was to be like God. And the fall caused them to fall from that until now they live like animals. But even with that, because of the fall, then God says, okay, we will allow that physical act to take place between male and female, but only in marriage. Only under the guidance of His Word can they have this relationship. Outside of that, it's wrong. And if it's outside of that, then Satan can anoint it, and there ain't no telling where you're going to wind up. You've got to reel these emotions and all these things and bring it all back to the whole revelation of what this is all about and what we are here on earth to be, a representation of God, in the image of God. And so He allows it now because of the fall, but it's only permitted in marriage. Outside of that, it's called fornication or adultery. One of those two. Amen. And so, like I said a while ago, the world hijacks it. But let's don't let them hijack it in us. They can live however they want, but let's bring ourselves back to the Word. So that we see it and we think it and we observe it according to the revelation. I want to get back to the place where I am an expression of God on this earth. That I am made in His image, and I want to live like I'm made in His image. I don't want to be called myself a son of God and say that I'm in the image of God and live like the devil or live like the world. You follow me? It's about principle. It's like the principle of give me death or give me liberty. You either give me freedom or I'll die trying to get it. And so there's a righteous indignation rises up in a real Christian that says, listen, we've got to go back to the Word or just do away with me. I've got to have liberty in the Word of God to be what God says I'm supposed to be without error, without man's influence. Either I'll have that or come and crucify me. And that's what it should be, a real Christian. Anything that's worth living for is worth dying for. This nation could really take a good lesson in that right about now. Because nobody's got backbone anymore. And in the church world, nobody wants to live according to the Word because it takes backbone to live according to the Word of God. It takes backbone to look the world in the face and say, I'm not going by your method. I'm taking my cues from the Word of God. You follow me? Yeah. So, man was made in the image of God. And this is why Adam was called the son of God. It didn't say it was the son of God when it was a deer or a serpent or something like that. It was Adam called the son of God. And Adam had those attributes of his father, the spoken word, the speaking, and the wind, and make the wind stop if it was too cold or whatever. You understand? He had that. We know that. You say, well, Brother Tom, where does it say Adam had that? Because Adam was the son of God, and we find over here about 4,000 years later when Jesus Christ stepped on the scene, who was also the son of God, same family, that when he stepped on the scene, what did he start saying? Peace be still. Multiplying the fishes and the loaves, stopping the winds and the waves. So that's how we know that Adam could do that. Because Adam was the son of God, unperverted, prior to the fall. So we know he could do that. And so when you say, well, where does it say that he said, oh, that wind's a little bit cold, Adam. And he says, wind, stop it. It don't say it, but use your brain. See, use spiritual understanding of what God's committed to us that we can look into these things and realize there are things committed to us that we can have that we've let the world lie to us about. That's what we got to do. We got to bring this back to the Word because He is providing that wife who is without spot or wrinkle. She will be by His side. Yeah. And I think she's dressing herself really quickly in that garment right now. Amen. (Clears throat) children should not be brought forth. Now, this is what I'm trying to get into here. So, this holy union. Now, what is marriage? It's the holy image of God. But this holy union, because it's holy matrimony. What makes it holy? The animals, it's not holy, but it's holy matrimony. What makes it that? Because of what it represents and how it was instituted by God and what God has put in the care of man to be the image of God. And then it's all got perverted. But it's to be holy matrimony. And when that comes together under God's program of unity, and as it is with all animals and all creatures, male and female coming together, then you get creation. But with God's people, we have a higher standard. Because we are the image of God. We're made in the image of God. We're to represent Him here on this earth. And He has imparted into us that kind of expression. He didn't command, He didn't tell the deer and the buffalo that you've got spoken word, that you can speak. He didn't give that to them. But He gave it to us. Because we're the ones in His image. And so, it's only in that arrangement that males and humans, now the world, the deer and the animals, they can come together all they want to and produce. Because they're not charged that sacred charge. They're allowed to run around in a buck deer to have a whole harem of does. That's allowed in them, but it's not allowed in us. Why? Because we're the image of God. And God's not going to go around sleeping around, and He's going to come through a holy matrimony, a holy arrangement, where that when He comes together with His wife, it's a holy union. And yet, so with us, when we come together as male and female, in that environment, it's that environment that children should be raised in. It's that environment where children come forth. And like I said earlier, no child, I didn't say this earlier, but thinking of what I said about you can't change your genetics. No, I come from a broken home. I know what it's like to not have a dad in the house, or a different one here, and then years later another one, different one. I know what it's about. I know what it produces. And I know what I'm talking about. And the world can say whatever they want, and if they don't like it, you don't have to listen to it. But I know what I'm talking about because I've been there. And I know what it's like to not know your daddy. And wonder who he is. And not know where you come from. I know what it's like. I know what sin does when people don't come together uniting the way God says it should be done. I know this. I understand it. And so children should not be brought up in some other fashion in a broken, split home. Well, what's the best way to prevent that? The way to prevent that is to make sure that you get God's choice on the mate. Up front. And I'll tell you something, and I don't want our young people to fall out of the chairs when I say this, but you can still let your mommy and daddy pick your mate. You can still do that. And you're like, oh, are you serious, Brother Tony? Well, as a rabbit trail just for a moment, so many daughters wind up marrying a man just like their daddy. Is that right? Yeah, I hear the sisters. Yeah, that's right. So many. Sister, do you want to marry a wimp? Or you want somebody that can be Christ and take care of you and that you know will give his life for you if he has to? What do you want? The way to make sure that's it is to make sure that you find one who's godly up front to begin with. And so, I said your parents can still pick your, but here's, let me explain what I'm saying to you. You could let your parents say, Mom and Dad, I want a wife. I want you to go find her. They come and say, okay, here's the one. Okay, they get married. People have done stupid stuff nowadays. I seen where a man let his friends go pick a woman for him, and he married her. You talk about ignorance. But here's what I'm getting at. God has made those parents. He said, you've got the gift of life. You brought together in unity, and now through your union, you've brought forth children, and God has committed to those parents to be the overseers of those children. They know more about them children than anybody else. And so I think that your parents, if they're godly parents, I'm talking about in Christianity, if they're godly parents, they would know what's going to be good or bad or not. You understand? They would know this. And so it would be very advisable that at least mom and dad could speak into your life about that one you think you're interested in. And here's what I'm trying to get to. That if you, in your own personal walk with God, you young people, in your walk with God, and you know that you've made Him number one in your life, and you're looking to Him first so that all these other things can be added, and you know that you're putting Him first, and you're seeking a wife, or you're asking Him to provide it, and your parents are Christian, and they're believing, and they're praying, and they're looking over you, that when you finally get to that place, and God brings her into your life, and the Holy Spirit tells you, that's the one, guess what? The same Holy Spirit will say it to mom and dad. So there's something about having mom and dad's approval on both sides. Her mom and dad, your mom and dad. You follow me? Am I saying something contrary to what the Bible's trying to tell us? See? You don't want to go against the voice that's speaking into your life that God gave you to speak into your life. Right. Processed you into this world through a holy union that way. Now you say, well, my parents, they're not Christian, or they weren't Christian when I was born. Whatever, bring it back now to the Word. Bring it back to the truth now, wherever you are in life, no matter how many years you've gone, how many times you've been married and divorced, that's behind, put it under the blood. Now let's straighten out with the Word of God now going forward. Right? Let's do that. Because you can't change things, those children's lives. You can't change who they are once you know, you say, well, I don't like this one no more, then your children are going to suffer. And I think, well, I won't say what I was going to say because it might be misunderstood. But so you see, God, Adam was God on earth. He had dominion. He had his helpmeet by his side. He lived in a paradise. What else could you need? Sounds perfect to me. But here you are, creation from God. He has created, he's brought you a wife who's part of you. That's, you know this, there's not going to be a disagreement between you because she come from you. Your helpmeet, the love of your life, and living in a paradise. What else could you want? That's what Adam had. And you can have that. You'll have the trials of life, but when God has brought you together with the right one, it's a love of your life. You know that you're going to brave every storm. Nothing's going to separate because God's joined together. And your little home is a paradise. You love it. You can't wait to get home from work. You love spending time with your mate. And I know life has its way of coming in on those things. We'll talk about that. But what else could you want? So God created, when he's going to create it, he created it. He, and I'm paraphrasing, God said, I'll create a two-person system that through unity, I'll bring forth my people. Two people, but through unity. Why did he do that? Because God in eternity didn't want all of his life and his everything that he was by himself. He wanted to share it with his family. He wanted to share it, and yet it has to be by free moral agent. And so through that, he created the concept that there will be a male and there will be a female, and they have to come together in unity, and through that unity, procreation or creation, the church will be birthed. Throughout the ages, all of God's children come forth. But in your home, your children, your predestinated children, by God, through that union, will come forth. So marriage is, I title this, what is marriage? Marriage is the holy union of God, where it displays the power of redemption. Everything God's doing in the spirit realm, he displays in the husband and wife. Showing the commitment. I want to ask you a question. How committed was God to saving his people? How committed was he of coming down into Jesus Christ, forming himself into Jesus Christ, and being the husband for the wife? How committed was he? 100%. You couldn't make him back up on it. Whatever had to be done to save her, he did it.
Right.
So this is what's being, this is what's supposed to be expressed in marriage. Showing his desire to share with his people, showing that only through unity, only through unity, but through unity, she becomes him. Now, a lot of this I'm saying, I'm hoping that the, you're also getting a revelation of your walk with God as a Christian.
Right.
But through unity, you become him. Right? He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. They're one flesh. Paul said we are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. I don't understand that, but God said it. So Jesus Christ standing here talking to you today, using my flesh. Right? This is his flesh. And the scripture said that I don't have the exact wording, but you'll get it when I say it. When you join your members to a harlot, are you going to take the members of the body of Christ and join them with a harlot? Paul talked about that. He said, don't you know, every sin that a man does is without the body, but when you join together like that, you're doing a sin against your body. Why? Because you've joined up with something that wasn't ordained of God in the first place. And there's heavy prices that are paid and heavy pronouncements in the scripture upon on marriage when it's done wrong because of the magnitude of what it is. It's pertaining to life. It's pertaining to the bringing forth of life, which is an image of God, and we are his image, and we've given a high degree of a commission from God to be that image of God. And so there's a lot put on it when it's not done right because of the power of what's unleashed when it's done wrong. The heartache and the troubles and the sadness that's produced because it's a creative act. And you have the ability when you come together to be creators, not just to create a family, but create a home, but you can create tons of heartache. The same nuclear bomb that keeps people from sending missiles our way can also destroy. See? The same awesome power that can be used to create can create bad things. And you have the ability to create good things. Create an environment in your home. Speak good things. When you go to speak something wrong, no, that's the devil. And speak good things and create. We're creators. And one of the greatest things of creating is when you come together in unity with a wife that God has given you, a spouse, and you become creators that way. So it shows the unity that she has with him, showing that nothing can separate her. Nothing can separate a husband or wife if it's joined together by God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 39, I think. I don't know what I put on there. On here I've got 28 to 29. I know that's not right. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. All that's already been done in the mind of God.
Right.
Before the foundation of the world, he put our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so way back then, he glorified, justified us, he predestinated, it's all done. Already passed, we've just got to catch a revelation of it, which he's given that to us. And so Paul said, since that's the case, since he's already done that, since we're already past tense, justified, glory, and even glorified, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God has decided to join together with us, how in the world can someone come along and separate it? You can't separate what God has joined together. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with us also freely give us all, with him also give us freely, give us all things? Freely give us all things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercessions for us. Look at what Paul's saying. If we belong to God, who's going to come along and separate it? If God has joined us together with our spouses, who's going to come along and separate it? Nobody. Because we're an image of that. See, it's paralleling. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? How many husband and wife went through tribulation together? Look at the hands. Right? Distress? Persecution? Famine? A lot of us hadn't had much famine. Nakedness or peril or sword? You might see some of that for too long. That's right. Might. That's why it's important that the one you're with can brave these storms together, because you both know your God and you know that you're for each other.
Right.
No question. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I may have said this before, but it said there, not even an angel can do it. And you see in the Bible where one angel killed 185,000 people in one day. You don't mess with angels. But that says that even an angel, whether he be a righteous angel or a fallen angel, they cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. And if that's the way it is in the church, that's the way it is in husband and wife, in family, when it's done God's way. When you find that one to be. So since God is God, since he is infinite, since he is committed to us as a husband to save us, and he cannot be defeated, since all that's so, and since that we are his creatures on the earth that he made, and we are in his image, and he's committed to us that lofty charge to be the holders sacred of life, his spoken word, since he has done that, then oughtn't we to want our lives to mimic his? This is why this marriage is such a strict thing, and this is why that's right where Satan went when he wanted to make the fall. This is why she's on every billboard naked, almost. This is why. Because this is the kingpin Satan is working. I said years ago here when we was preaching here, and I said Satan wants to get people to re-mimic the fall, what happened in the garden. And they're doing it every day. They're doing it every day by putting their flesh out on the screens for people to see, lusting, going in and living in common law and doing all the things they do. If you count it in God's economy and all these people living together and they decide they don't want to live no and they go find somebody else, that's just like being married and divorced. Even though it's not done wrong, you understand. So I bet, it's just like Brother Rev said, you know, those tribes over there, one of those tribes in Africa, and the woman had to be married by a certain age, and if she wasn't, then she'd be run out of the tribe because there's something wrong. But she'd be tested to see if she's a virgin, and if she wasn't, she had to tell who it was that she was with, and both of them were killed. And Brother Rev said, I wonder if we had that rule tonight or today in the church right now, I wonder how many people would be standing. And it's the truth. Because the whole thing went way off long ago. But the Word of God can bring it back. Amen. So marriage is God's, is an institution he has placed within you as a husband and wife that you can come together. And every aspect of that, that God can be resident in expressing himself through you as a holy image of God. And you can accomplish things that nobody else in the world can. Your life, your family, your husband and wife relationship, you can go through things and brave storms and nobody else and still be holy every bit of the way. A lot of other people go through storms, but is their life holy matrimony? Is it expressing God like it should? So many of them aren't. But God wants you to have the opportunity that you can, and it's through by getting back to his word. So I think that would be a good place to stop. Amen. Let the musicians come. There's a lot to it. There's a lot of things in life that works against a unity. Works against unity of husband and wife. And we want to address a lot of these in this series. I'm going to tell you, I don't know that we'll do this series every Sunday. I think we might do it every other Sunday to give room for other things the Lord might want to put in there. But we definitely want to give attendance to this stuff that the Lord has, for some reason, has brought to our attention. Let's just pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we are coming to the end of this service, we know, Lord, that this is a very heavy topic, very heavy teaching, Lord. And I know that most of the world, they would absolutely just reject, Lord, the things that have been spoken this morning. But, Lord, they come from your word. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would just, as your word has gone forth and as your people embrace these things that they've been told, and Lord, that you begin to show them, even by revelation, that this is the life that you would want us to live, Lord. That the world can do whatever they want, but Lord, those who follow after your truth, you'll give them peace that passes all understanding. There is almost no peace left in this world now. What we have, Lord, is in relationship with you and with those believers, with our spouses. We're asking, Lord, that you just pull us all up closer to each other and bring us into that unity we've spoken of today. We love you, Lord. We thank you. Ask for your blessings upon your people. Lord, where Satan's trying to put his influence in, where he's trying to bring sickness in, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. We stand steadfast on your word and accept your healing. Accept your guidance for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
But what I need is just for a view.
You understand?
Of things I've had my fear. And yet I
that's what the world will do to you. It'll leave you empty and bare. Let the world tell you how to be married, how to live your life as a couple, and you'll come back empty and bare, no doubt. You say, Brother Tony, I've been married for many years and I haven't lived like what you said. It's okay. Put it under the blood. and go forward now. Say, God, I want you to come down and change me. Make me the husband or the wife that I should be. And you young people, you may say, well, I've been looking and I've been, you know, interested in the different ones, and I haven't always consulted mom and dad. I haven't always prayed about it. Repent about it. And from this day forward, put it before God. And be open with your parents about it. And you'll find out if God could just somehow let you see what your life would be, you'll find out you'll have a much happier future ahead of you if you do it God's way. More.